Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, verse number 44. Knowing that Bhismadeva had merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute, all present there became silent like birds at the end of the day. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. To enter into or to become merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute means to enter the original home of the living being. The living beings are all component parts and parcels of the Absolute Personality of Godhead. See, that's very important. Usually, Prabhupada just says they are parts and parcels, but here he used the word component, parts and parcels. That makes it even clearer what he means. And therefore, they are eternally related with him as the servitor and the served. The Lord is served by all his parts and parcels, as the complete machine is served by its parts and parcels. Any part of the machine removed from the whole is no longer important. Similarly, any part and parcel of the Absolute detached from the service of the Lord is useless. The living beings who are in the material world are all disintegrated parts and parcels of the Supreme Whole, and they are no longer as important as the original parts and parcels. There are, however, more integrated living beings who are eternally liberated. The material energy of the Lord, called Durga Shakti, or the superintendent of the prison house, takes charge of the disintegrated parts and parcels, and thus they undergo a conditioned life under the laws of material nature. And so that's again another significant word, disintegrated. Integrated means connected. Disintegrated means we who are the living entities who revolted against Krishna, we are disconnected to Krishna. And because of that, we undergo a conditioned life under the laws of material nature. In other words, we're always subject to suffering and misery unnecessarily. It's because we disintegrated ourselves from Krishna. When the living being becomes conscious of this fact, he or she tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and thus the spiritual urge of the living being begins. So, this is a significant concept, the spiritual urge of the living being. It's just like, let's say you were a Hindu in Uganda 30 years ago, right? And all of a sudden, Idi Amin took over Uganda as a dictator. And then one day, after living there for like three or four or five generations of your family that lived there, were born there, were prospering, had land, had businesses, and were doing very well, and looked like the future was wonderful, as soon as Idi Amin took over, one of the first things he did was pass a law that every Hindu had to leave in 24 hours, otherwise they would be killed. And they could only carry with them what they could hold in their hand. And we're not allowed to take more than one suitcase. And the suitcase was also, looked at to make sure you weren't taking gold or any precious things out of the country. How would you feel? In one day, you lose everything. And so that's what it means by being disintegrated. You are disintegrated from your heritage of five or more generations, everything that you acquired, your traditions, everything, your temples, everything was taken away in 24 hours. And people had to leave. And they could hardly take anything with them. This is what it means to be disintegrated from God. It's even worse than that, right? And the difference is Idi Amin was forcing the Hindus to leave, whereas we have voluntarily left. by developing some kind of envy of God and rejecting his authority and walking away from him. That's why we're in this world and our soul is covered by these material bodies, and the material bodies are completely under the influence of the material nature. And we're suffering, although we have an eternal soul that's not material. But because of that false identification with the body, we're suffering. This spiritual urge is called Brahma Jigyasa, or inquiry about Brahman. Principally, this Brahma Jigyasa is successful by knowledge. That's what it means. Becoming successful by spiritual knowledge of our eternal relationship with Krishna. Is successful by knowledge, renunciation, and devotional service to the Lord. These are the three components of Brahma Jigyasa: knowledge, renunciation of the material concept of life, and devotional service to the Lord. Jnana, or knowledge, means knowledge of everything of Brahman, the Supreme. Renunciation means detachment of material affection, and devotional service is the revival by practice of the original position of the living being. The successful living beings who are eligible to enter into the realm of the Absolute are called jnanis, the yogis, and the bhaktas. The jnanis and yogis enter into the impersonal rays of the Supreme, but the bhaktas enter into the spiritual planets known as the Vaikunthas. In these spiritual planets, the Supreme Lord as Narayana predominates, and the healthy, unconditioned living beings live there by rendering loving service to the Lord in the capacity of servant, friend, parents, and fiancé. There, the unconditioned living beings enjoy life in full freedom with the Lord, whereas the impersonalist jnanis and yogis enter into the impersonal glowing effulgence of the Vaikuntha planets. The Vaikuntha planets are all self-illuminating like the sun, and the rays of the Vaikuntha planets are called the Brahma Jyoti. The Brahma Jyoti is spread unlimitedly, and the material world is but a covered portion of an insignificant part of the same Brahma Jyoti. This covering is temporary, and therefore it is a sort of illusion. Bhismadeva, as a pure devotee of the Lord, entered the spiritual realm in one of the Vaikuntha planets where the Lord, in his eternal form of Parthasarathi, predominates over the unconditioned living beings who are constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. The love and affection which bind the Lord and devotee are exhibited in the case of Bhismadeva. Bhismadeva never forgot the Lord in his transcendental feature as the Parthasarathi, and the Lord was present personally before Bhismadeva while he was passing to the transcendental world. That is the highest perfection of life. So we see that many people in the past attained this highest perfection of life, which is seeing Krishna at the moment of death. But most people don't see Krishna at the moment of death. They see Yamaraj at the moment of death. Imagine what a shock that is. And the reason for that is because they have been misled to think that the purpose of life is sense gratification, and to have sense gratification you need money, and to have money you have to work hard. So there are two ways of working, either legally or illegally. Both ways you have to work hard. If you know how much preparation it takes to rob a bank and get away with it, and get away with hundreds and thousands or millions of dollars, it's hard work. It's harder work than just getting a job and working. They have to plan everything. You have to get the plan of the internal construction of the bank, and you have to find where the vulnerable points are, and that takes a lot of research. And then you have to actually execute the plan. And so many things can go wrong to rob a bank, because it has an alarm system and everything. Like recently, about 4 or 5 months ago, there's one museum in Germany that has the relics of many kings in the past, and all those relics are worth millions and millions of dollars. It's almost not possible to calculate how much wealth is represented by the relics in that museum. Well, a group of thieves figured out or learned that the security system in that museum was not very good. And they were able to turn off the electricity, circumvent the whole security system, go in, and in less than 5 minutes steal at least $100 million worth of very expensive relics from the history of Germany's aristocracy. And even though they also knew that that museum, the directors of that museum had a policy that if someone breaks in, they will not try to stop them, but they'll call the police, because they also did not want any of their guards to have weapons. Because it's a false idea of, you know, we're peaceful people and guns are evil and blah, 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 all that nonsense. So the thieves knew all this. So they were able to break in, take all the expensive stuff, and get out in 5 minutes before the police came in 15 minutes. And the guards just stood there and watched them steal everything. So you see how the thieves are very smart. I mean, not all thieves. You know, you have dumb thieves. You know, they walk into a bank and say, you know, give me all your money or I'll kill you, you know. And then they get caught right away because there's a little button that the teller has underneath the desk, and they just push the button, and immediately it's silent, and there's no sound. The police are alerted that there's a robbery going, and by the time the thief comes out of the bank, the police are waiting for him, right? But these other thieves were very smart, and they planned it a long time, and they got away with it. They still haven't caught them, you know. So to be a thief, you have to work, a good thief, you have to work really hard. So it's better just to be an honest person and work, you know, hard all your life, but then not be a thief, because one thing is to steal from a museum. The other thing is to steal what belongs to Krishna. Now, what belongs to Krishna? Everything belongs to Krishna. Everything is made of his energy. He's maintaining everything. So if we become a thief of Krishna's property, then that's the worst type of thief. And therefore, what happens to such thieves? At the end of life, they don't see Krishna. They see Yamaraj. And then they realize, oh my God, I made such a mistake. But it's too late to do anything. So, therefore it says, Bhisma Dev, as a pure devotee of the Lord, entered the spiritual realm in one of the Vaikuntha planets, where the Lord, in his eternal form of Parthasarathi, predominates over the unconditioned living beings who are constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. The love and affection which binds the Lord and devotee are exhibited in the case of Bhisma Deva. Bhisma Deva never forgot the Lord in his transcendental feature as Parthasarathi, and the Lord was present personally before Bhisma Deva while he was passing to the transcendental world. That is the highest perfection of life. So we want to pray that by Prabhupada's mercy and by our desire to follow Prabhupada's instructions, we can also see Krishna now all the time. And we do. Every time we come to the temple, we see Krishna, right? But to fix that beautiful sight of Radha Nila Madhava in our mind all day long and all through our life, so that at the end of life, we will see Radha Nila Madhava, or Radha and Krishna, and it'll take us back to Godhead. But if you're shocked to see Yamaraj, don't be shocked. It means we did something wrong, or many things wrong in our life. So my father used to tell me, if you don't do anything wrong and you do everything right, you have nothing to worry about. Right? So we should always follow. When in doubt, my Latin teacher used to tell me in high school, when in doubt, do the right thing. So whenever you're in doubt, do the right thing. Chant more, dance more, take more prasadam, associate more, do with good devotees, and do more service. then you have nothing to worry about. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.